Good evening.
It's good to see you all. We're going to go ahead and get started. It's good to see you all. Wow. What a great number of people here. And what a great number it was this morning to see. So we're going to do something maybe a little different. We're not having music at the very beginning. We're going to go ahead and kind of get started and let Nate come here in just a minute. But at the end, after he gets done sharing and sharing scripture, sharing his testimony and all of that, and then he'll turn that back over to me, okay? And then I'll kind of give you some more instructions then as we get ready to vote for that. But I want to open us up in prayer, and I'm going to ask Nate to come and share the Word of God with us. And I believe he's also going to share his testimony so that you can get to know him and who he is and all of that. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, as we come before you tonight, once again, we are so moved with all of your goodness in our lives. And Lord, I thank you for every family that's here, every family that's represented, Lord. Father, to know that you're doing a work just as you did in 1850, God, when you established Waldo Baptist Church, where there were some people who had a vision to start a church. And God, how you have worked over the years and through the years. And Father, to see so many people through the years come to know you as Lord and Savior, called out of here to go to churches and to go into mission field. And Father, we are so grateful for all that you have done, but we are grateful for all that you're going to do. And Father, we always pray that your hand would always be on us, Lord, that you would always give us your protection. And Father, we would never take a step without your leading and your guiding. So Father, now as we turn it over to Nate to bring the word, we pray, God, that you would be with him and you would give him the words to say and open up our eyes to see, our ears to hear what you want us to see and hear. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead, brother. Amen. That's my granddaughter.
Good evening. There we go. I just want to open up by saying thank you. Thank you for loving my family well. Thank you for being hospitable. Thank you for being gracious and kind. Well, we had a wonderful time this morning, a wonderful lunch, and so you did a phenomenal job just making us feel welcome, making us feel loved, and very, very excited. So I hope you are, because we are. So if it's okay with you, tonight is going to be a little bit different in that I'm not going to actually preach a sermon. Travis said, hey, what did you think about sharing your testimony? And so I'm going to share a little bit of my testimony, talk a little bit from Romans 5. And then just kind of tell you a little bit about me. So I don't really have a night tip, plan tonight, if that's okay. I'm just kind of talk about myself, share myself with you, and hopefully we can pray and celebrate together. So a couple of quick things about me, right? I love Cardinals baseball. I love coffee. I love to read. And other than that, I'm really boring. Okay, that's about it. So I love books. I love coffee. I really love baseball. I love football in the fall. There's nothing better than fall days and football on TV. Praise be to God. That's good. So that's great. I would like to say that I'm moving home because I miss Carice, or that I love Jake, or I miss my dad. But I'm really moving home because my Aunt Paula makes the best Thanksgiving dressing on planet Earth. And I've been gone for 16 years. So I cannot wait for Thanksgiving. That will be great. So that's a little bit about me. Kelsey works as a speech-language pathologist. She's really, really great at it. She's great with kids. She's a great therapist, has built her own practice, and is just phenomenal at it. And our children are a great, great blessing. We adopted Isaac when he was 2. He's been with us for about 7 years. We met him through a foster family who was in our small group. So we're in the same local church, we're in the same small group, and they were fostering him. And Kelsey approached me one evening and said, listen, I think that we should adopt Isaac. And I'm entering what was going to be the hardest semester of seminary. And I'm like, excuse me, what are we about to do? She says, we're going to adopt Isaac. And I said, okay. So I was praying about it, thinking about it. I came home for a visit, and I told my mom all the reasons why I did not want to adopt Isaac. And she said all those reasons were based out of fear, so I repented, and we adopted Isaac. So that's how that story went. And by God's kindness and God's amazing kindness, so we tried for 2-3+ years. I don't know if we're done yet, but I'm really grateful. I'm incredibly grateful for that. So let me briefly tell you a little bit about my testimony, how I came to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. As you guys know, I grew up in the area. I was an every other weekend kid. I say that because my parents were divorced, and I love them. They're phenomenal. But that's just part of my story. So they were divorced most of my life. My mom lived in Paducah. My dad lived in Metropolis. So I was over there. I graduated from Tillman. And every other weekend, I was over here in Metropolis. And early on in my childhood, we weren't in church a lot. But my dad did come to saving faith, I think in his late 30s, by the ministry of FBC Metropolis. And so he started going there faithfully and continually. So about 4th to 5th grade, I was in church every other weekend, faithfully, loved on, cared for, heard the gospel preached. And I grew up probably thinking that I was a Christian for a couple of reasons. I probably thought I was a Christian because I lived in America. I believed in something I called God, and I was in a church on occasion. Now, if you think about that for a moment, you will realize that there are lots of people who call themselves Christians because of those three things. And so I was living my life and far from the Lord, didn't love Him, didn't love His Word, really didn't love His church. But I would have told you, had you asked me, yes, I am a Christian. And I'm going to leave out some of the difficult details just because I love my family. We went through kind of a very difficult season. Very, very hard, very difficult season. And I ended up moving in with my dad in Metropolis. And so for, you know, every weekend, no longer every weekend, I was at FBC Metropolis. And my testimony is in part a story about the local church loving well. The local church loving well. And so those people loved my family, they loved me. Some of the members there in particular just cared for us and loved us and prayed for us and had us over for dinner and just really cared for us well. In my junior year in high school, my dad signed me up for this kind of youth camp that I did not want to go to. It's one of these youth camps where, like, there are no water slides, there is no cool bands, so there are no, like, it's just like hymns with a guitar and dudes preaching. Did not want to go. Okay, I was 17 years old. I did not want to go. So I get on the bus, man, I go to, I think it was in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, to this conference, far from the Lord, loving my sin very much, and just kind of living life. And for the first time in my life, during that weekend, it was as if I could hear, see, taste, and smell the goodness of the gospel for the first time. It was as if I'd been in church my whole life, and I kind of skipped through the sermon and couldn't wait to go to lunch and just live my life. Like, I heard nothing. And then all of a sudden, I was, like, gripped. I could hear every single word. And I became convinced that I was not a believer because a pastor preached a phenomenal message from Romans chapter 5. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn there. We're going to talk about Romans chapter 5 just for a little while. Romans chapter 5. So we get there. I didn't know who this man was. The preacher that evening was a man named Vodi Bakum. Some of you probably have heard of him or heard him preach. So he's preaching that evening from Romans chapter 5. And his theme was what's so great about being a Christian. And he tells this story about preaching on college campuses. And someone approaches him, a young girl, a young college girl, and says, "Let me ask you a question. What is so great about being a Christian anyway?" And Vodi says he pauses. He thinks about it for a moment, and he was just kind of struck by the question. And then Vodi opens up Romans chapter 5, and he answers that question. I'm going to read Romans 5, verses 1 and 2, and then we'll think about this briefly together. "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God." Okay? So what Paul does there is he says, because we have been justified by faith. Now, justification or justified is legal language. It's forensic legal language to say that God declares you to be in the right, not because of your life, but because of the life and death of Christ. In other words, God declares that you're in the right before Him because He takes the righteousness of Jesus and attributes it to you. That's justification. We are declared right before Him, not guilty, more than not just as if you've ever sinned, but announced righteous before God. That's justification. So since that is true, we have peace with God. So there are three fruits that come and benefits that come from justification. The first one is peace with God. Now, peace here refers to the end of an enmity. So think about God's wrath towards sin. A divide that cannot be breached, cannot be conquered by any human. It's God is wrathful towards sin. We're at enmity with one another. And now, because of justification, we are at peace. And the enmity is over. And that peace is objective between us and God, but it's also subjective. If you have peace with the Lord, you can be at rest and at peace with Him. So the first fruit of justification is peace with God. Now notice this, through our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul says in Ephesians 1 and 2 that Christ Himself is our peace. Christ Himself is our peace. And that is, if you place your faith in the person of Jesus Christ, crucified and risen, through faith in the Lord Jesus, you become at peace with God. Since we've been justified, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, that is Jesus, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. So peace is the first fruit of justification, and then access to grace. Now, what kind of grace is he talking about? Is it initial saving grace that we began the sermon with this morning? Or is it continual sustaining grace? The grace in which we stand. Our life is marked by forever the grace of God. Full access to it. I remember when we were young. We got married, moved to St. Louis. Kelsey was in grad school. And when I was working full time, I was working at FedEx Ground, a big hub in St. Louis. And I got promoted. Now, this is it. Now, we're young and immature. You get excited about small things. And when you get promoted at a dock, they give you a little card, and it's attached to your belt, and it goes up and down like this, and it gives you access to all the doors, right? So before, Nate had no access. He gets promoted. Now Nate has access, okay? So prior to justification, there is no access to grace, sustaining grace, okay? But your entire Christian life, from the point of justification, is access to God's continual sustaining grace that's at work in you this very moment to conform you to Christ until glory. And He does that all the time. You're going to hear me talk about, I hope, the ordinary means of grace. The ordinary means of grace. What are those? God has said, hey, I promise you I'm going to be in these things, so when you gather and worship me, you should do these things. I ordain them, and they're rather ordinary. The preaching of the word, prayer, baptism, Lord's Supper, singing together, those are ordinary means by which God has promised to be present with us and communicate His grace to us. So we have access to those things. So every single time you take the bread and you take the cup, you have access to the reality that body is broken for you. And that blood has been shed for you. And you're sustained and strengthened and fed until He comes and gets you. Access to grace. So peace is the first benefit of justification. Access to grace in which we stand is the other. And we rejoice. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now, hope is one of those words which in English and in common usage can be confusing. So I can say things like this. I hope the St. Louis Cardinals win the World Series. And they're not very good, so they ain't going to do that. Okay? I can say, I hope that my son Luke will be a good basketball player. But he's short and stumpy, and so that ain't going to happen, probably. So that's a kind of a weird way to hope. It's kind of unknown. It's out there. It's kind of like a wish. When the Bible uses the word hope, it doesn't mean that. It never means that. The hope in Scripture is a future assurance that we have access to now in the present. We have hope because one day God is going to raise us from the dead. It's guaranteed because Christ has risen from the dead. You see? So it's an assurance in the future that comforts and fuels in the present. Hope is a future reality that fuels us and assures us in the present. That's what it is. So here's the benefit of justification. If you've been declared right before God, you have peace. You have access to grace, and you have hope. And so here's Nate, 17 years old, for the first time in his life, going, I have no peace. I have no access to grace whatsoever, and I feel as if I have absolutely no hope. And so if this is true, if this is the benefits of justification, then I must not be a Christian, and I've never been the same since. Never been the same since. So, in a room this big, let me just say briefly, it could be possible that you are here and your life fits the description as someone who never really feels at peace. And if you were honest with yourself, you would say that your life isn't marked by much hope. You live day to day under a constant pressure and fret, and you can't see past that day, and there's no hope and peace and rest and something bigger than yourself. It might be, it could be, that the Spirit's at work showing you, man, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Through faith in Christ comes justification, the declaration that you're right before God. You're standing before Him is righteous. And out of the overflow of being justified, peace with God, access to grace, hope of glory. Now, for good measure, I'm going to read verses 3 and 4 because they're good, so why not? Okay. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. Knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. See, beloved, the Christian life, God's grace and salvation, changes your perspective about everything, including suffering. Including suffering. Now, let's be clear. I don't like suffering. And I'm not saying that you should spend your life eager and ready to go find it. That's not the point. But it's an understanding that God in His goodness and grace will never waste a day, an hour, a minute of your life. All of it, even the suffering, is the means by which God purifies, strengthens, molds, and makes you like the Lord Jesus Christ, which is why we have hope that does not put us to shame. So I don't know what it is that you're dealing with and going through in which the suffering that you experience might lift you upward. It might lift you upward past yourself to see the goodness and grace of God, which is molding and shaping you to say, you know what? Jesus is enough. He's enough. And His grace is sufficient to strengthen you, sustain you, no matter what you go through. And so Nate, sitting there 17 years old, was convinced, man, I don't think I'm a Christian. It took a while. It took some reading, some discipleship to discover. Yeah, I think during that weekend, I was converted. I was regenerated by the Spirit. I'd repented and placed my faith in Christ. So I was baptized at FBC Metropolis probably 6 months later, something like that. And it was just a wonderful time of growing in the Lord. Cliff Easter, who was my youth pastor, and Joe Buchanan, who recently came to be the pastor, grabbed me. They spent time with me. They loved me well. And they taught me how to love the church, love the Word, and to pursue the people of God, to minister to them, to build them, strengthen them. That's what they did for me. In fact, every Thursday night my senior year, I was a really weird senior high school student. Every Thursday night, I was at my pastor's house, and we talked about the Protestant Reformation and the doctrine of Scripture and theology and preaching, and it was amazing. I mean, it changed the trajectory of my life, those Thursday evenings. It sounds so small that for a six-month period to a year, going over to a man's house and just learning stoked a fire in me that, man, I want to spend the rest of my life serving the bride of Christ, loving the church well. And from then on, I went to a place called Boyce College, which is an undergraduate school at Southern Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. It's a great place. I loved Louisville. Louisville's a really fun place to be if you're a college student. They have great coffee, by the way. It's great. So I love being there. It was a wonderful experience. I had wonderful professors. I served at a local church that was just really good for me. My final 2 years, I got to serve as youth pastor. Before graduating, and Mary and Kelsey, which was amazing. We moved to St. Louis so she could go to grad school. I served as a NAM intern at a church plant. That's the North American Mission Board. So I was an intern there. Maybe one day I could be a church planter. So you become an intern and learn, I don't want to plant a church because that's really hard. And so God just wired me a little bit different. And after that, we moved our family to Wake Forest, North Carolina, where I attended Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. And just one quick story about that, about God's just providence and grace. That God's sovereignty is just over every little thing. Right before we took off to leave to go to Wake Forest, my dad and stepmother were planning to take me there. And she had a cyst in her body that ruptured, and she was in the hospital for like 48 hours. Couldn't take us to Wake Forest. So, who was waiting? My wife's dad. Okay? His bag was packed for some reason. He wasn't planning to go. Our bag was already packed. And so we pick him up, and we go to Wake Forest, and he helps us navigate all the difficulties of moving a young family halfway across the country. And he got us settled in, and it was great. And we got to say goodbye. And in God's kindness and grace, that was the last time that my wife ever saw him. So God's amazing providence and his kindness, even over little cysts, he was kind and gracious to us so that we could see her, and my wife could see him one more time. And so while we were there, we loved seminary life. You know, we were young and broke, and we just hung out and watched movies and ate really bad food, and it was awesome. It was awesome. So after a while, we adopted Isaac, like I said, and life became a little bit more real, and I had a decision to make. Do I want to go into academia and pursue a PhD program, or do I want to be in a local church? And it became very clear to me that I just really, really love the local church. And no matter what I do, I want to spend my life dedicated to serving local churches, strengthening them, building them up, not only where I am, but all around me. So something you're going to learn about me, if I have the opportunity, is that I'm not going to care just about Waldo Baptist Church. I'm going to pray and ask for the strengthening and the upbuilding of Baptist churches of light, faith, and practice all around us. I want them to flourish and do well. I'm going to pray for them often, intercede for them. I'm going to hope the best for their pastors and their members. That's what we do. We are kingdom-minded people. That's what I want to be. So we did that, and we love being in ministry. And for the past 6 years, we've had the privilege of serving as, I've had the privilege of serving as the pastor of Herman Baptist Church in Waxhaw, North Carolina. And they've been so good to us. They've been so good to us. They've loved us well. They've allowed me to make every rookie mistake that you can make in the book, and I'm still there. So that's great. So they've been wonderful. And over time, when you're 11 hours away from home, you're raising a little boy with two diagnoses, you have three other children, you're in ministry all by yourself, just the weight of that is heavy. And so we began to pray and hope that the Lord might allow us to be able to come closer to home. And honestly, I can say this honestly, I never considered this to be a possibility. And so we just kind of waited and plotted it out and kept going. And the Lord in his kindness opened up an opportunity that I hope that we get to walk through. So that's a little bit about me and my story. Like I said, you're going to kind of learn that outside of baseball, the Lord Jesus Christ, and coffee, I'm pretty boring. So I'll tell you what, that's all that I have this morning. I just want to share a little bit about myself, a little bit about my wife. Is there anyone who has any questions about just my life, or about Kelsey? Really easy softball questions, nothing hard, just easy ones, you know, off the plate. But just about me and my life before we pray, and I'll turn it back over to Trad. Great. Great, awesome. That's a sweet sound. Silence. Great. So let me pray for me, pray for y'all. I'll turn it over to Trad. I think we're going to go back and see the babies, and I hope to hear from you soon. And God bless you no matter what happens, okay? So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have grateful hearts because you're a good and gracious God, and you have saved us through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we went our own way and wanted to do our own thing, you pursued us by your Spirit and you have made us your own. We praise God for that. So many people in this room could give testimony to your saving grace and your kindness and your mercy in their lives. And so you're worthy of our life. You're worthy of our praise, and you're worthy of everything. So Lord, I pray that you would just give wisdom, discernment to this body of believers, that you would give them unity in the bond of peace. And ultimately, God, I pray that whatever your will might be, that I would embrace it with joy. I would embrace it with joy, and that you would allow Waldo Baptist Church and Herman Baptist Church to flourish in every way, to be strengthened and built up, to be strong covenant communities that are on mission for the glory of God, to make disciples of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. And God, when that happens, we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.